some of the things. First of all, it's the appearance day of Radha Raman, the deity of Gopalbhatta Goswami, appearance day of Madhavendra Puri, and the appearance day of Srinivas Acharya, as well as the disappearance day of Parameshwara Thakur. So we're going to try to speak about these great personalities. So Om Maganah Timidandasha, Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur and Meditam, Gena Tosmai Shigurve Maha. So first about Parameshwara Thakur, very little we know about him except that he was a sweet maker. In other words, he made sweets for the deities. And he and his wife used to serve Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Navadvipa. And then later on, when Lord Chaitanya went to Jagannath Puri, he would go on a regular basis. I believe his wife's name is Mukunda Mata. So he and his wife would go and then serve Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. So that's Parameshwara Thakur, whose disappearance day it is today. Now, also, it's Radha Raman's appearance day. So the story of Radha Raman, the self-manifested deity of Krishna, is very interesting. The story is as follows. Gopalbhatta Goswami was engaged in the worship of Shilas. He had 8 Shalagram Shilas, which he had obtained from the Gandaki River. And the Gandaki River is in Nepal. And they're the Shilas that are actually, you don't install the Shilas, they're actually Krishna. It's Krishna. And according to the way the different carvings are made on the Shilas, the carvings are made actually by the worms there in the Gandaki River, then the Shilas are known to be different incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As those of you who were here last night saw, there was a Nrisimha Shila that we showed on the TV, and that was an Ugra Nrisimha Shila, had big teeth and everything in it. So those who are expert can ascertain what type or which incarnation of the Lord is manifest in a particular Shila. So he had 8 of these Shilas, but Gopalbhatta Goswami, being very humble, not like ourselves, thought himself unqualified to worship the Shilas. So he thought, you know, nowadays, of course, we find so many devotees without permission of the spiritual master and get Shilas, and they don't even take care of them properly, and sometimes you can even find the Shilas available on eBay, you know, because the devotees don't take care of them, and then they give them away. And they have an interesting way of giving them away to others. They say, well, the Shila wants to go to you. But actually, the point is that they don't want to take care of the Shila anymore. You know, the Shila's told me he wants to go to you. And we have devotees like with 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 Shilas. That was not the system of the Goswamis of Vrindavan, especially Gopalbhatta Goswami. Excuse me. So feeling very humble, he went back to the Gandaki River and he put the Shilas back in the river. And then what happened with the Shilas is they jumped out of the river back into his hands. And then he thought, well, maybe I made a mistake. So he put them back in the river and they jumped out of the river back into his hands again. And then he understood that Krishna wanted to be worshipped by him. So this is how humble he was. And then he went back to Vrindavan and he was worshipping these Shilas, but then he saw that the other Goswamis of Vrindavan, they had deities they were dressing. I mean, there's a certain nectar to be dressing deities. As we see with Radha Gopalokananda, you can do so much Sringara, you know, decoration and things like that. There's only so much you can do with a Shila. I mean, and many people, they don't do anything with their Shilas. They just put the mouth on, the eyes on, and everything's already pre-made. And they just bathe and sing, you know, Om Shilaya Namaha, whatever. And then that's it. But so he wanted to take care of deities and dress deities. And then to rub some salt in his wounds, so to speak, to make him feel more anxious about worshiping deities. Thank you. Some rich man gave a lot of cloth to make clothes for deities. And so he was sitting there with all this cloth thinking, you know, what am I going to do? He took rest that night, woke up the next morning, and one of the Shilas, the Damodar Shila, manifested himself as Radha Raman. the deity, the famous deity in Vrindavan, the Radharaman temple. And there's this special place at the Radharaman temple where Radharaman manifested himself, the Prakat Stali, the place of the manifestation, Prakat. Prakat means manifestation. Stali, the place. That's right in the Radharaman temple of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And you can go see that deity, you can go see the Radharaman Prakat Stali place too. So that's the story of Radharaman. And to this day, Radharaman is being worshipped in a very exquisite fashion. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said, if we want to learn about how to do all the intricacies in deity worship, then you go to the Radharaman temple and you hear about the intricacies. It's not that we can copy all those things, because they're very expert Brahmins. Anyway, so that's the appearance of Radharaman. In addition, it's the appearance of these two great Vaishnavas who we're going to be talking about today. First, we're going to talk about Madhavendra Puri. Of course, Madhavendra Puri is known to be the grand spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Madhavendra Puri's disciple was Ishwara Puri. Ishwara Puri was the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya. And Ishwara Puri got that status because he served his guru in a very deep, intimate way when his guru was getting ready to leave this world. Madhavendra Puri was feeling intense separation from Krishna, and he was crying, feeling this intense separation from Krishna. This is called an anubhav. There's vyavachari bhavs, anubhavs, stai bhavs, vibhavs, sattvika bhav. Anyway, so an anubhav is actually a voluntary thing that someone does to follow his emotional status, like dancing. Like, you can control that. You can control whether you dance or don't. But a vyabhichari bhav is an uncontrollable, intermittent, ecstatic emotion that you have. Basically, uncontrollable means you have no control over it. So, anyway, so he was exhibiting separation from Vrindavan, from Mathura, and his disciple Ishwara Puri helped him in that mood. And another disciple, Ramchandra Puri, didn't help him. He preached to his guru to meditate on Brahman, and Ramchandra Puri got cursed, kicked away, and Ishwara Puri got blessed. So that's a very interesting indication. If we help or assist the spiritual master in his mission and in his mood, then we get blessed. And of course, we won't become the spiritual masters of, let's say, Lord Chaitanya or incarnations of Krishna, but still, we'll get blessed with pure devotional service. That's the secret, Yashya Prasada Bhagavat Prasada. So Madhavendra Puri is described that he was the source of ecstatic love for Krishna within our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood that whenever he came in contact with someone who was exhibiting ecstatic love, they had a connection with Madhavendra Puri. So in the other sampradayas, yes, there's love of Krishna, obviously, but the love that comes to the point of awe and reverence and not to the point of intimacy. And Madhavendra Puri taught the love of Krishna up to the point of intimacy and the gopis' love for Krishna and Vrindavan. So the story of Madhavendra Puri is as follows. And this story was told by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was at the Shirachura Gopinath temple in Ramuna. Shirachura Gopinath means the deity who was Chora, who was a chore. He was a thief. He stole the sweet rice, and he stole from Madhavendra Puri. Of course, at that time, when Madhavendra Puri first went there, it wasn't known as the Shirachura Gopinath temple, just known as the Gopinath temple. And in this temple, there's a very, very special deity of Gopinath. And that deity was personally carved by Lord Ramchandra. When Lord Ramchandra and Sita Devi were in Ramuna, which is where the temple is, Sita Devi asked Lord Ram, I want to see what your incarnation looks like during the Dwarpa Yuga. And remember, Lord Ram appeared in the Treta Yuga. And so Lord Ram taking a stone and an arrow, carved this deity. He carved it out of a stone. It's a relief deity. That means it's not a freestanding deity. It's like a bas relief or a relief panel where the deity comes out. And it's a very beautiful deity. And the deity is playing the flute, the deity of Krishna. So what happened, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is that Madhavendra Puri was on such a high platform of devotional service, he didn't make any endeavor to get prasadam. And that's the highest platform. In the beginning platform of sannyas, you make an endeavor because you stay in the same village and you have your wife cook for you still, which is kind of unusual. And, of course, the wife doesn't bring the food. The food is brought, it's called kutichak. The food is brought by your children. Because you can't figure out how you're going to cook for you. Because for so many years, your wife's been cooking for you, so you can't figure out how you're going to cook for yourself. Sometimes people, for one reason or other, they're separated from their wives, and their parents are very anxious, isn't it? How are you going to live? Of course, it is not good to be so dependent on someone else. To be dependent on someone else's mercy weakens one. And then it also destroys your relationships with people, too, because then you're demanding things, you know. I got to eat, cook for me. Everyone should learn, like Prabhupada said, everyone should learn how to cook. Everyone should learn how to clean their own clothes. Just like when we started here in New Goloka, of course, I cook for myself now anyway, still. But still, I was doing everything. I even had to go to the laundromat with the devotees. Of course, I never pressed my clothes. As I told the devotees the other day, that instead of pressing my clothes, I would put my clean dhoti under the mattress, and that would press it automatically. And just like we told the devotees, when we were on traveling Sankirtan, we would cook by putting the food on top of the engine, and that would cook the food. You know, so we developed many, many ways of doing shortcuts. So anyway, so the point is that as one progresses in the sannyasa orders, one should become more and more independent, not dependent on others. Because as long as one is dependent on others, then one can't really be fully Krishna conscious. As long as you're thinking, you know, I need this, I need that, this person, without that person. It's like someone in married life is thinking, without my wife, who will press my clothes, who will cook for me, who will smile sweetly, whatever. Who will yell at me? So one is thinking like that. But actually, you should become self-sufficient and depend on Krishna. Madhavendra Puri was so dependent on Krishna. The highest stage of sannyas, you know, Paramahamsa stage, where one doesn't even go like in the Madhukari stage, where you go house to house asking for food. He just didn't ask anybody for food. And therefore, he just depended completely on Krishna. He says, if Krishna wants me to eat, he'll bring me food. And if Krishna doesn't want me to eat, he won't bring me food. That's really surrender to Krishna. And I don't advise any of you to do that, because you'll probably starve to death. So, but Madhavendra Puri was personally taking care of Krishna. He went to Govardhan, and he was chanting. And then Krishna saw that he wasn't eating, so Krishna personally brought him some milk. And he said, young boy, who are you? He said, actually, just the ladies. He didn't understand it was Krishna. He said, the ladies from the nearby village saw that you weren't eating, and therefore, in our village, nobody fasts. And so then he took this milk, and he kept the container. Didn't understand he was Krishna, but that night he had a dream. And in that dream, Krishna appeared to him and really revealed to him that he was the boy who brought the milk. And he said, actually, I've been hidden from a certain religion. Nowadays, you don't want to really get into talking negatively about a religion. I've been hidden from people of a certain religion who were attacking and destroying the temples and smashing the deities. And I've been hidden in the bushes. And my name is Gopal. He introduced himself, you know, hello, my name is Gopal. And you should, I've been waiting for you. I've been thinking, when is Madhavendra Puri going to come to take me out of the bushes and install me? And I am the proprietor of this place. Somehow or other, I've been put in the bushes. And so, therefore, you should take me out of the bushes and give me, feed me again and bathe me and everything like that. So Madhavendra Puri woke up immediately, obviously, after having a dream like that. And first he was lamenting, I saw Krishna, because Krishna had brought him the milk, and I didn't recognize him. And then he kept that same pot or pieces of the pot, and every day he would eat a little piece of that pot that the milk had been in. So then he went to the place, he took the villagers to the place where Gopal had pointed out, and they brought all these choppers, that means like big scythes or knives, to cut down the bushes, and they found Gopal there. And that place is called the Gopal Prakat Stali. Has anyone been there with me? Did I take you there? No. You don't remember. That's it. It's in the town of Anior.
Oh, I've been there.
Did I take you there?
Yeah, I went there with you, and then I went there with you.
No, Anior is basically means give me more, give me more. That's where Krishna was asking for more and more and more 5,000 years ago when he manifested himself as Govardhana, as a big deity. And they couldn't get him enough, and he ate everything up, and finally they gave him a tulsi leaf, and he was satisfied. So that's the point, is Krishna's not satisfied by mountains of food or whatever you offer unless you give him a tulsi leaf. So, anyway, so getting back to the story, so they dug Gopal up and dug him out, and then they put him on top of Govardhan Hill. The original temple where Gopal was installed is still there on Govardhan Hill. You can see some of the aerial shots that we took there. And the temple is not being used. There's another temple that they constructed. And so Gopal was installed on Govardhan Hill, and there was an Anakut ceremony. All the villagers brought mountains. Anakut means like a big grains, Anna. Grains and all sorts of rotis and everything like that were offered to the deities. You know, mountains of stuff were offered to the deities. And this festival was observed not only once, but many, many times as different villagers helped observe this particular festival. Recently we did an Anakut festival. Last Kartik, we had devotees from South India come, several hundred devotees, and they brought these big pots of food. I wish I could show the devotees. I have pictures of it. And then I offered it all to Govardhan, right there by the side of Govardhan. It was one of the most wonderful experiences I've ever had. And, of course, people in India love to cook. They love to cook. And that's, Prabhupada said, our religion is kitchen religion, because it's based on cooking and offering. And Prabhupada also. Sometimes someone who's called a rasa acharya means a good cook. And rasa means to taste. So the acharya or the teacher, by example, and Prabhupada, one of the first things Prabhupada did in spreading the Krishna consciousness movement was to cook for the devotees. And he would just feed the devotees so much and insist that they would eat more and more and more. There was one person who would eat like 20-something chapatis or rotis at one sitting. And Prabhupada understood the potency of prasadam. So, anyway, so Gopal was installed, and later on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to see Gopal. And because Gopal was on top of Govardhan Hill, Lord Chaitanya did not want to climb Govardhan Hill. No Gaudiya Vaishnava should be climbing Govardhan Hill. It's a great offense, because Govardhan Hill is non-different from Krishna. You certainly wouldn't put your feet on Krishna. Certainly wouldn't do that. I mean, if you want to go up Govardhan Hill, you can do it on your knees somehow or other. There's actually a story of Sripad Ramanujacharya, who went to see the deity in Tirumala. Now, Tirumala is also considered an incarnation of Vishnu. I don't know if you knew that. And actually, the hills around Tirupati, Tirupati is the town below, and Tirumala is the town above. The hills are considered like the chakra is on the spine of Lord Vishnu. You have seven hills. And recently, because it has nothing to do with Madhavendra Puri, recently there was a governor of Andhra Pradesh, the state in India, and he wasn't a devotee. And he thought, well, we should give one of those hills to the Christians, one of those hills to the Muslims. And he had a whole plan. I don't know if any of you heard about this. He had a whole plan to divvy up the hills when they're actually just incarnations of Lord Vishnu. And so what happened is that Krishna killed him. He's in the helicopter, and then Krishna smashed him because he wanted to desecrate Balaji's hills. So, getting back to the point, Ramanujacharya, when he went to see Balaji, he tied his feet to his thigh, and he climbed up on his knees. And I don't know if you know how long it takes to climb up the Tirumala Hill. I mean, even with my feet, I didn't do that, but I climbed up with feet. It took me about 2.5-3 hours. And that's really going fast. We had a competition between myself and Kavi Chandramarsh, who could get up the fastest. And he's pretty fast. So because he respected like that. And even when he went up there, he made sure he didn't eat, he didn't drink, because he didn't want to pastoral urine, and he came right back down. That's how much respect. See, this is a really important point. We should have so much respect for these holy places. Like when you go to Radha Kund, I mean, put the water on your head. I mean, the water is directly Srimati Radharani. So the problem is that nowadays people are so loose when they're approaching the holy Dham. And Krishna's intimate pastimes. I mean, reading Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Jiva Dharma, he won't even talk about the gopis' relationship with Krishna in a very deep way in front of a pure devotee who's established in Sakyaras. There's this pure devotee whose name is Vrajanath, which is a nice name. And there's another pure devotee whose name is Vijay Kumar, who's the uncle of Vrajanath. And Vijay Kumar is established on the Madhurya Ras, and Vrajanath is on the Sakyaras. So he wouldn't even discuss these things in front of Vrajanath, who is Sakyaras. And he just would meet privately with Vijay Kumar. Very interesting. So, you know, we, not only Westerners, but people in India now too, I mean, everything's the same. They take everything so cheaply, you know, putting on plays of Krishna's intimate pastimes. And Lord Chaitanya would never agree to that. Anyway, little my own opinion there. So, let's go on. So, Gopal was being worshipped. So, when Lord Chaitanya wanted to see Gopal, Gopal made an excuse so he would go somewhere else. There was an excuse, the Muslims are coming to attack. And then he would go to Mathura and Lord Chaitanya could see Gopal at that point. But Lord Chaitanya would never climb Govardhan Hill to see Gopal. He had great reverence. His reverence is a very important part of our Krishna consciousness. So, anyway, getting back to the story. So, Gopal appeared to Madhavendra Puri again in the dream, and he said, actually, there's a problem, because I've been in the bushes so long, I know you've been bathing me every day, but I'm still pretty hot. And so the cure for being hot in India is sandalwood. Like we described the other day when we were talking about the sandalwood festival. The sandalwood should only be put on someone when it's hot out, not when it's cold. Even though in the calendar it says you're supposed to put sandalwood on only when it's hot, because that's the purpose. You know, Prabhupada wouldn't put sandalwood on his forehead when it was cold out. When it's cold out, he would put a sweater on. So Gopal said, I've been hot. I'm still very hot here. And we know in Vrindavan it gets very hot. Right now during the day, even now, in this month of May, the merry May month of May, it's 115 degrees out during the day. That's pretty hot. And then when you get later in May, it can get up to 120-something degrees. 125, even gotten up to 130. And that's pretty hot. Later on, the rainy season comes, and then it's hot and humid, which in one sense is even more uncomfortable. So Gopal complained. He said, you have to go to Jagannath Puri to get some sandalwood for me. So Madhavendra Puri immediately received this order, and he went through Bengal to Jagannath Puri. But on the way to Jagannath Puri, he went through the city of Ramuna. And Ramuna is where Shirachori Gopinath is. And what happened is when he stopped there, he heard about this wonderful preparation that was being offered to the deity, the Shira, you know, the sweet rice, condensed milk. And he thought, if I could make this preparation, then I could make it for my Gopal. He wasn't thinking materially. You know, when we go there, we think, when can I taste it? So he was thinking, if I could taste it. But when he was thinking about tasting it, he was thinking about tasting it before the offering was made. And so that, in one sense, is considered an offense. Of course, it wasn't an offense on his part because he was thinking out of service. But if we're cooking for Krishna and thinking while we're cooking for Krishna, I can't wait to taste it, then in one sense, the offering's not offerable. That's why it said that if a lower creature happens to see the bhoga, it's not offerable anymore. Because a lower creature is lusting after it. And even even according to the subtle science, if someone lusts after your food, you can get sick. Like if you're sitting down for a plate, of course, prasadam never gets contaminated. But if you're sitting down for a plate of regular food and someone looking at it, I wish I had it, then you get sick. The best thing to do is if someone starts looking at it, you give it to them, and then you won't get sick. So, So Madhavendra Puri felt guilty because he thought, I'm lusting after food before it's offered to Krishna. And so he just left the situation, went to the marketplace, was chanting, took a little rest, and he was in one of the market stalls in the marketplace, which is about a kilometer away from the temple, if anyone's been there. So, in the middle of the night, the pujari was woken up in a dream, the pujari of the deity, and the deity told him, I have hidden some of this sweet rice for my devotee Madhavendra Puri. You didn't see it because I put it under my cloth. And so the pujari got up, bathed, as is necessary before you're going to go on the altar. He went on the altar and he found the sweet rice, went to the marketplace, and he cried out, if the sannyasi named Madhavendra Puri is here, please come. Gopinath has stolen sweet rice for you. And Madhavendra Puri got out of his stall in the marketplace and he took the sweet rice, and it's described by Prabhupada that both the pujari and Madhavendra Puri were pure devotees. Because Krishna doesn't give these sorts of instructions just to any ordinary devotee. Krishna only gives this to pure devotees. So Madhavendra Puri took the sweet rice and he was very happy. He also kept the container or the pot. And from that day forward, the deity was known as Shirachori Gopinath, the deity who stole the Shira. So then he proceeded again to Jagannath Puri, arrived in Jagannath Puri, got the sandalwood he was supposed to bring back to Gopal, but on the way back, he stopped again in Ramuna, and in Ramuna, he had a dream, and Gopal said to him, actually, just offer this sandalwood to Gopinath, and I'll be very happy, because myself and Gopinath are non-different. So he offered it to Gopinath. The pujaris were very, very happy about that. And that's the story of Madhavendra Puri. And of course, many other stories too. Madhavendra Puri met Advaitacharya, and he was the guru of Advaitacharya, also met Lord Nityananda. There's a story about Madhavendra Puri and Lord Nityananda meeting each other. They fainted in ecstasy and remained unconscious for like 10 hours, and nobody could understand what was happening. So Madhavendra Puri, of course, is a Nityasiddha devotee, a devotee who descended from the spiritual world to assist the Lord in his pastimes and manifest the highest stages of love of God. So now we'll talk about Srinivasacharya. So Srinivasacharya, of course, is one of the three main acharyas that are second generation from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. First generation after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And you have Srinivasacharya, Narottama Das Thakur, and Shyamananda, who were the second generation. And Srinivasacharya was initiated by Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So here's some of the instances in the life of Srinivasacharya. So the story starts before he was born. His father's name was Gangadhara Bhattacharya. And Gangadhara's wife, who was the mother of Srinivasacharya, was known as Lakshmi Priya. And they lived on the banks of the Ganges. So they wanted to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Gangadhara Bhattacharya went to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he happened to arrive just when Lord Chaitanya was taking sannyas in Katwa. And when Lord Chaitanya was taking sannyas, several things happened, of course. He took sannyas from Keshava Bharati. But the first thing, before you take sannyas, you have to shave your head. And so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had very beautiful long hair. That's one of the things he's renowned for. Because his hair was spiritual. Our hair is basically, it's dirty. That's why when someone cooks in the kitchen, they should wear a hairpiece to keep the hair from falling in to the food, or shave their head. Or like Jagat, he has shaved head, right? So he has no hair to fall in. It's all gray. When I first met him, it was all black, and now it's all gray. To see what Krishna consciousness can do for you. So Lord Chaitanya's hair is extremely beautiful, his form. I just like with the deity of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, we worship them with hair. We don't worship the deity as bald. That would be improper. We worship Lord Chaitanya as a householder in Navadvip, Mayapur. So what happened is that the barber was shaving Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and his barber's name was Madhu, and the barber didn't want to do it, even though he ordinarily cut hair. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him the benediction that from this day forward, you won't have to cut anyone else's hair. There'll be plenty of money for you. So the barber thought, wow, this is great. I don't have to work anymore. Retirement. And so the barber cut the hair. And the barber was lamenting when he cut Lord Chaitanya's hair. He said, what misery I have caused. What have I done? And he fell unconscious upon the earth. I mean, normally barbers don't say that when they're cutting your hair. But with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, he was so beautiful, attractive, handsome, whatever. And so this devotee, Gangadhara Bhattacharya, who was the father of Srinivasacharya, not yet the father, but to be the father, he saw this and he became so immersed in ecstasy, seeing Lord Chaitanya take sannyas and hearing Lord Chaitanya's sannyas name. Chaitanya was Lord Chaitanya's sannyas name. Before that, he was known as Nimai Pandit. Then he became known as Chaitanya when he took sannyas. And then Gangadhara Bhattacharya started just chanting, Krishna Chaitanya, Krishna Chaitanya. And he went crazy. Everyone thought he was crazy. And so then he went back to his village. And he and his wife eventually decided to take darshan of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagannath Puri. So they went to Jagannath Puri to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw them and called them to his side, recognizing them. He said, Jagannath is delighted that you have come here. go and take darshan with him. So they went to take darshan of Lord Jagannath, and very happy, they stayed there for several days. In the meantime, the Lord understood what they were praying for. And what they were praying for was a son. You find that many times that devotees will go to the holy places and they'll tie things on the trees, little strings on the trees, little bells or different decorations on the trees, because they're begging for a son or a daughter. And so Lord Chaitanya understood this, and he sent a message to them. He said that you should go back immediately to your village, because you're going to be giving birth, at least the lady's going to be giving birth to a son, and his name is going to be Srinivas. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu already gave a name to the boy, even though the boy wasn't born, even though no one except for Lord Chaitanya knew it was going to be a boy rather than a girl. So when he was born, it's described his luster was as brilliant as molten gold. He had a long nose. His eyes extended to his ears. That's lotus eyes. He had a broad chest, and his arms and his hands extended to his thighs. So these are the signs of a Maha Purusha, a great soul. And of course, if you look at any of us or any of our bodily characteristics, you'll see that we don't have the characteristics of a Maha Purusha. Our eyes are like little beads. They're not like lotus. I've seen people in India, sometimes their eyes are like lotus. Lotus is very beautiful. And sometimes people even put kajal in their eyes to make them look like lotuses. But Srinivasacharya definitely had lotus eyes. So, anyway, so Srinivasacharya grew up in Krishna consciousness, being taken care of by his parents. And he visited the great devotees like Narahari Sarika, Raghunandana Thakur, who was that great devotee who was the son of Mukunda, who was able to make the deities get off the altar and eat. That's a different story. And eventually, he heard that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had left this world, and he decided to go to Jagannath Puri to see the associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was still there, and actually decided to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. So he arrived in Jagannath Puri, and he saw Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, and he wanted to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. But the copy of the Srimad Bhagavatam that Gadadhar Pandit Goswami had was completely illegible, because that copy was the copy that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would hear from every day, and there were tears that had washed away the print in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srinivasacharya decided, I'm going to go and get another copy, and then I'm going to hear from Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. So he went to get another copy, and when he went to get another copy, he heard that Gadadhar Pandit Goswami had disappeared. So Srinivasacharya, this is one of the aspects of the story of Srinivasacharya, that whenever he went to get the association of a great Vaishnava, that Vaishnava would disappear before he was able to get his association. So when he heard this, he fell down on the ground completely stunned, and then he went to Navadvip, to get the blessings of Vishnupriya, who was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's wife. And Vishnupriya eventually agreed to give him her darshan. Ordinarily, Vishnupriya would not come out and see any man. She would remain behind a curtain. And she put her lotus feet on the head of Srinivasacharya. Wow. And it's described that she was very thin at that time, because she would just cook enough rice, like one grain for every mantra or something like that. Some people say one grain for every round, but I don't think it was like that. I think it was one grain for every mantra, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And then Srinivasacharya visited all the other devotees, got the blessings of Janabhamata when he went to the house of Lord Nityananda. And he visited Abhiram Gopal, who was renowned for giving blessings to devotees by whipping them. He had a whip named Jayamango, and every time he whipped you, you got Krishna consciousness. It's actually interesting. And what happened is he kept whipping Srinivasacharya, and Malini Devi, his wife, said, stop. Not because he was cruel, but because Srinivasacharya had become so ecstatic he wouldn't be able to preach. So that whip is still there today. If you visit the home of Abhiram Thakur, Abhiram Gopal Thakur, you can see that whip. It's called the Jaya Mangal. It means auspicious victory. So then he spent a few days on the way to Mathura, went to different places, visited Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekhar in Kashi, and they told him of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. And then he went to Mathura to see Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. But right before he entered Mathura, he was at Vishram Ghat. Vishram Ghat means the Ghat of rest. And he was informed that Rupa and Sanatana had passed away right before he got there. So he was completely bereft, began to weep, fell on the ground. And then he had a dream, and Rupa and Sanatana appeared to him and said, just proceed and take shelter of Srila Jiva Goswami. So he took shelter of Srila Jiva Goswami and took instruction from Srila Jiva Goswami as his sixth guru, and then took initiation from Gopal Bhatta Goswami as his initiating guru. And he took instruction at Radha Kund and went around all the holy places in Vrindavan and Braj, being guided by Raghava Pandit, who in Krishna Leela was Dhanishta, Krishna's cousin. So after some time taking instruction from Srila Jiva Goswami and associating with Narottama Das Thakur and Shyamananda, he was sent to preach Krishna consciousness, to take the Goswami's books to the east, in other words, to Bengal, because Vrindavan is like in the middle, sort of in the middle. It's not actually in the west, but it's in the middle of India. So he was sent to Bengal, and they were sent with an ox cart full of the Goswami's books. The books were actually stolen, because we don't only have 1 minute left, I have to go quickly. Were stolen by this king's dacoits. The king was named Birham Vira, and his dacoits stole the books because they'd been told by an astrologer that something very valuable was being taken. And these devotees, Srinivasacharya, Narottama Das, and Shyamananda, became very much bereft hearing that the books were stolen in the middle of the night. But then Srinivasacharya later was able to recover the books and give initiation to the king, King Virhambira. And King Virhambira became such a great devotee that if someone wasn't a Vaishnava in his kingdom, they were kicked out of the kingdom. So later on, we don't have time to tell all these different stories about Srinivasacharya. There's stories about his ecstasies or meditation. But later on, Srinivasacharya got married, and King Virhambira arranged for a big marriage ceremony for Srinivasacharya. And Srinivasacharya had 3 sons and 3 daughters. The names of his daughters were Krishnapriya, who you see here, Hemalata, and Pulapa Thakurani. And his sons' names were Vrindavan, Vallabha, Radha Krishna, and Sri Gita Govinda. And it's described that Krishnapriya was actually, and Hemalata, were actually gurus in our sampradaya, and they initiated many, many devotees. So this is the line of Srinivasacharya. One story we can tell about Srinivasacharya: one time he was meditating on a leela of trying to find Radharani's ring or anklet that was lost in the water, and his great disciple Ramchandra Kaviraj joined him for that meditation, the guru and disciple in the same meditation, internal meditation, because Srinivasacharya's wife was actually worried that something had happened to him. So Ramchandra came in, and they found the anklet, and they came back both at the same time, and they were both participating in the same pastime with Radha and Krishna. So today is the appearance day of Srinivasacharya, this great devotee. So all glories to his divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srinivasacharya ki jai, Madhavendra Puri ki jai, Parameshwara Thakur ki jai, Radha Raman ki jai.